Episode 64.
Bow, 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 bow. On the road bow, again. Bow, 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 I can't believe I'm on the road again. The life I love is making podcasts with my friends. I can't believe that I'm on the road again.
Bow, 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 bow.
All right. How about that?
Late night internet marketing.
In this episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we break down some iTunes feedback and figure out why email lists might be your most important asset for your business. In the main segment, we take a look at my plans for the niche site duel. We're going live and fully transparent. And in the tech tip, we talk a little bit about an old tool I recommended a long time ago, but now we look at it in the light of Google search result encryption. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
I'm on the road again. Little Willie Nelson action for those of you that are into that whole thing. I am on the road again in Houston, Texas, but I wanted to make sure that I got this podcast episode out as promised. You know, Houston is the place of my birth. And my parents still live here, so I'm down in Houston visiting my parents. They're taking care of some business, and I wanted to be down here to help them with that, so here I am. I hope you have had a fantastic week. I certainly have. It's been a very busy week. I continue to be very busy at my day job, but I am prioritizing this podcast up high enough in my life so that I can make sure and get that business handled up on. And so I'm in a hotel room here in Houston, Texas, recording the podcast on mobile gear. So if you hear some popping or you hear some elevator noises or traffic sounds from the street, just ignore that because that's what's going on here. I'm in a hotel room. Great week this week from a business standpoint. I've been really cranking it up a notch here at Late Night Internet Marketing. And as I mentioned, a lot of that energy is going into the podcast. I've got some nice guests lined up for you in the coming days and weeks, and we're going to have lots to talk about. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, as mentioned in the intro, is my plans for the niche site duel. And we'll talk about that, but first, I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about some listener feedback on the iTunes side of the house.
And now, it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking.
Late night listener feedback.
Okay, I got some feedback over on the iTunes side of the house that got my attention, and it's from an author named Texas Actor. Now, I'm going to guess this is Tommy Kendrick again. We talked about Tommy last week. He's got the Actors Talk podcast. We're gonna talk about that in just a second. But Tommy says, I listened to 30-plus episodes in a week. Am I nuts? Well, maybe, but the show really is that good. And he goes on to say some nice stuff in the review and leaves a 5-star review. Tommy, if that's you, thank you very much. So there's a couple of cool things about this that are worth mentioning with regard to the iTunes review. So the first thing is iTunes reviews are really, really important to me and the show. So if you're digging the show and you want to support it, the best thing that you can do for me is to head over to latenightim.com/iTunes. That will take you over to the iTunes page on the web. And if you click on the link there that says leave a review, it will open up your copy of iTunes and you can leave a review. Five-star reviews are very much appreciated, and some comments about what you like about the show. iTunes uses this information to decide to weight the rankings in the iTunes search engine. So when people come searching for internet marketing or internet business or whatever it is they're looking for, affiliate marketing, they will decide which shows to return to the searcher based on, in part, on the strength of the reviews. And so that helps the show be discovered by listeners. And it's probably no surprise to you that it's one of my goals to grow the show as big as I possibly can. So it's a huge help to me for you to leave a show in iTunes. So if you're interested in supporting the show, that is very much appreciated by me. The other thing that's interesting about this thing is engagement. So Tommy is an actor out of Austin, and you might actually recognize him. I recognized him from years ago. He appeared on some episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger, which I used to absolutely love, and I loved it. One of the things that got me hooked on that show is that it's filmed in the Dallas area, so when you're watching Walker, Texas Ranger, you can see all these things in Dallas, and it used to be fun to sit there and try and identify those. And Chuck Norris, in addition to that, is like a really good guy. He's a legit nice guy. And so I used to watch that show years ago. And I remember I knew Tommy looked familiar to me, so I was checking him out. So you can check him out on IMDb. I'll put a link to that on the show. So there's another thing that I wanted to talk to you about in terms of Tommy and his podcast, and that is that if you go to his podcast website, Actors Talk Podcast, and you've never been there before, I assume this is how it works. I haven't actually talked to Tommy about this, but if you go there like I did for the very first time ever, you land on a squeeze page where Tommy is wanting you to do one and only one thing, which is capture your email address. And that's a really important principle in internet marketing. Both capturing email addresses is really critical, as we've talked about in the show before. One of the few things that you can get in internet business that no one can take away from you and that will always be yours, one of the real assets in an internet business that you can actually capture is an email list. And so that's a really important idea, even for podcasters. So you can reach them, drive traffic back to the show, and perhaps even promote something to them. You know, in Tommy's case, I can imagine tons of applications for having an email list, including drumming up support for, you know, particular projects that he might be working on in the future. But the main thing, I think, for podcasters is just letting people know that there's a new show out and getting them back to the website to watch the show in the event that they are not subscribed in iTunes. You know, if you're like me, you may be subscribed to more podcasts than you can actually get to. So if you're reminded to listen to a podcast, then you'll go check it out. And the same thing is true for blogs. I am subscribed to more blogs than I can actually read. So if I get some kind of prod or I hear about in social media some article that's been released on a website, that makes me more likely to go check it out. So this is really good marketing strategy. It's also really good. The approach that Tommy uses here is there's only one action for the person to take on the page. There's not any choice. Your choice is to leave your email address. That's what Tommy wants you to do. He's not dirtying up the page with 14 other things that might distract you. He's got some proof on there. He shows some of the shows that he's been in down at the bottom of the page to let you know that he's a real legit actor. And the other thing that he does really well on this page is he engages with video, which actually held me on the page. I mean, it's one thing to read something on a page, but here I hear Tommy's voice, which I'm also going to hear on the podcast, and I see him in front of a Heil PR40 studio microphone setup. Thank you very much. Great mic, Tommy. And you know, he looks like a real pro. So all of that stuff helps give me the confidence that I need to realize that, yeah, man, this is going to be worth signing up. So good job on that. I encourage you to go over to the Actors Talk podcast to see that. That's a good execution of a squeeze page in my example. And Tommy, I want to thank you very much for that feedback. I very much appreciate it. And to the rest of you who have a few minutes to head over to iTunes and leave me a review in iTunes, I really appreciate it. Honest feedback, very much appreciated there. I love 5-star reviews, but I'll take whatever you think is appropriate. And I hope to see you over there at latenightim.com/iTunes. Thanks so much.
It's time to get to work. Building your internet business. One night at a time. One night at
a time. Okay, so today for the main segment of the show, what we want to talk about is Niche Site Duel 2.0. Now, you know, Pat performed magnificently in Niche Site Duel 1.0. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the Niche Site Duel, let me catch you up a little bit. So Pat Flynn, a couple of years ago now, had this Niche Site Duel idea where he, in front of everybody, live and in full Technicolor, well, it's a podcast, so it's not really Technicolor, but you get the idea. He was able to build a niche website. He selected a keyword, a niche area. He targeted that keyword with content. He built backlinks, and he was able to get a site ranking. And he was able to monetize that site with AdSense. He's tried several other things as well. And that site ends up making, I think it's making something between $1,500 and $3,000 a month from AdSense revenues. And the thing that was sort of quite amazing about that, and this is one of the magical things about Pat, okay? And I, you know, I've hung around Pat quite a bit, and there's lots of things to learn from Pat, but here's one thing that amazes me about him that you need to think about. I think all of us need to think about this. Where some person might have seen, maybe me, where some person might have seen a $5 or $10 a day website that, you know, maybe made $300 or $400 a month, Pat was able to see a website that made $2,000 or $3,000 a month and really, you know, dominates an industry in the area of new information for people who are interested in getting security guard training. I mean, this is sort of the difference between doing something cool and doing something great. I mean, building a website like the Cornsheller website that makes, you know, $10 or $20 or $30 a month or $50 a month is cool. And if you build 1,000 of those, that's a lot of money every month. And you can do that, and people have. And what Pat did was sort of that, plus he made it amazing. He had a bigger vision for it. And he ended up with something that makes, you know, sort of 100 times more money a month. So, you know, that's something to think about, exactly why that went down that way. How come Pat thinks this so much bigger than some other people? And what can you do to think big about the projects that you're doing? So that was Niche Site Duel 1.0. That's been well documented. You can go over to Pat's website and find that. I think if you go to nichesiteduel.com, it will take you to that. So for Niche Site Duel 2.0, Pat challenged people to do it again, and he's created an interaction area for that. And he wanted people to do it again. And this time, Pat's thinking even bigger. And, you know, basically what Pat is saying, at least my interpretation of what Pat is saying, is if you're going to go to all the trouble to build a niche website, you might as well build something that's more like a business than just a way to collect money. You ought to build something that helps people. And that's very consistent with what I always talk about on the show. And so he's doing this, and he's going huge, in my opinion, with this food truck site. So he has imagined a niche where people really need some help. He thought about this for a long time, and you can find out about this on the blog. But basically, he identified something that he was interested in where there was a big gap in the market, and that was in the area of food trucks. And so he registered this website, foodtrucker.com, and he has massive plans for this, not all of which he's revealed, but basically he's going to try and create the best resource in the world, I think, at least initially, for people who own food trucks. But I am suspecting eventually this will also be a resource for people who are looking to buy stuff from food trucks. I don't know. He started out with the keyword food trucks for sale, which was a great keyword. Then I did a little keyword research on food trucks just to see what was up, and I found something on the order of 2,000 long tail keywords in the food truck niche. And there's some competition in food trucks. There's some apps on iTunes. There's stuff going on. But food trucks, as a kind of a cool thing, are relatively new in the wild. You know, I mean, food trucks have been around for the last 100 years, probably, as what we used to call, when I was a kid, we used to call them gut wagons. And they would come to work sites, and they'd be really crummy food that you could buy, but at least you had food you could buy. Food trucks have turned into a gourmet thing, I think, born out of that idea that every once in a while one of those food trucks would be totally awesome. So these people who want to be gourmet chefs, I think, in general, and are really talented but don't have the $500,000 in capital to start a restaurant, can take $50,000 or $75,000 worth of capital and start a food truck and gain notoriety, and there are a lot of advantages to that. So anyway, that's what's going on with foodtrucker.com. I've gotten some feedback from some people that are totally intimidated by that idea. And, you know, let me emphasize, I don't think it's appropriate to be intimidated by Pat's approach. In fact, Pat has been very clear about how he's approaching this. He's not, I mean, this is not a 75-hour-a-week project for Pat, and he's, I think this is something that almost anyone can do with a little thought and imagination. But still, I think the scope of this thing that Pat is doing is bigger than what a lot of people are thinking of or expecting when they think about the kinds of things that they might want to do for the niche site duel. And, you know, it's actually true for me. So if you look at me personally, I've got my day job, and in addition to that, I've got a podcast that I'm trying to grow. And in addition to that, I've got affiliate websites that I maintain so that I'll have something to talk about on the podcast. And then in addition to that, I'd like to participate on the niche site, in the niche site duel. So this is, you know, from my point of view, any niche site duel activity that I did would be four or fifth down on my list of very important things to do. But I still think it's worthwhile. And so I got some feedback, some of which we've talked about in previous episodes, about people who also, for whatever reason, sometimes misguided reasons, sometimes real reasons that are really very valid, they don't want to take on something the size of a food truck. What they're interested in is something that's more of a formula. If I do this, then I'll end up with a site. And really what they're looking for is something like the corn sheller site, only maybe bigger with more income, that could provide passive, truly passive income for them. And so I thought that's what I'd try to do for Niche Site Duel 2.0. So here's what we're going to do. And we're going to talk about it on the podcast. And I've already started. So let's talk about what the general plan is. And what my idea is I'm going to do this completely out in the open. And I had already kind of started this when Pat announced. I had already kind of started this when Pat announced Niche Site Duel 2.0, and I'd started working on it. But like a lot of things in my life, I got distracted and I didn't finish, and so I didn't do even that much. So we'll pick up where I left off. We'll talk about what I've done already, and then we'll see what we can do with this. So, what I think you could choose to do for Niche Site Duel 2.0. And what we're going to do is to think of a niche that is something that matters to you. I'm not going to use the word passion here because passion is one of those loaded words that when you use that word, it conjures up ideas that this is your life's calling and you have this burning desire inside of you to do this thing. And it's, you know, now that you've discovered that, you're an unstoppable force in the space and all this kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about something that you're interested in. I'll give you a list of things that you might consider. Things that you know you need to do, but you've never done, or you want to do, but you've never done, or you're curious about, but you've never explored, or you commonly help people with because you know how to do them, but they're not necessarily your focus in life. Those kinds of things make really good niche topics because you've got enough peripheral interest in them that you can actually get enough focus and leverage over something to make a website. So that's good. So my dad is interested in coins. So, you know, maybe a niche website on coins would be something for you. I like to scuba dive, but I don't really do it all that often, but I do love to do it, but I don't really spend much time thinking about it. So maybe if I built a website on scuba diving, maybe I would spend more time scuba diving. Those sorts of things. I'm coaching Little League Baseball. Maybe Little League Baseball is a place where we need some niche websites about how to coach kids to play baseball. These exist, by the way. But, you know, it's a great example because it's something that I'm thinking about a lot. And so as long as I'm thinking about it, I might as well use that energy to build a website. So taking that sort of approach for niche selection is – this is not the kind of approach where, you know, a lot of people will teach you, go follow the money and find the money. I'm trying to say, go find something that, start off by trying to find something that you're sort of interested in. So for me, a lot of you know this, I'm about 6 feet tall and I should weigh, well, if you read these charts that the government put out, I should weigh like 180 pounds. I've never weighed 180 pounds in my life. I mean, I think I was born at more than 180 pounds. I'm sort of a bigger sort of guy, you know, from a wrist size. If you measure the size of my wrist, they're above average. So I'm not going to weigh 180 pounds, but I should weigh under 200 pounds. And right now I weigh about 145 pounds. So if I weighed 200 pounds, that would be awesome. And I would still be in the yellow for these BMI chart things that you look up on the internet, but my doctor would be really happy if I weighed 200 pounds instead of 245 pounds. So just for round numbers, let's say I need to lose 50 pounds. We'll just use that. So let's say I had a target weight of 195 pounds. That's actually what I wish I weighed. I wish I weighed 195 pounds. The problem is I'm not really that serious about it. Like most goals that people have that they don't achieve, I'm more interested in sitting in front of the computer and working on my internet business. I'm interested in eating great food, which I love. I'm interested in, you know, drinking Belgian beer. You know, I'm just not interested in losing weight. I just am not very focused. I don't get nearly enough exercise. I got lots of issues that I think are typical of middle-aged men who need to lose weight. Okay. So a good niche website for me would be in the weight loss area because I am interested in losing weight. I just don't have the focus. So maybe having a website in that area would give me a little more accountability, keep it top of mind for me, and give me a little more focus. So one of the reasons to build a niche website could be to help yourself achieve some goals. I'll tell you another thing that's true about me. I'm into electronic gadgets. So one of the nicknames that I've picked up over the years at work is Gadget Man, because I always have, not always, but I often have the latest Apple gadget, the latest iPad, I have all these kind of goofy things in my office. I have a ball in my office called a Sphero, which, is a, kind of like one of those balls that cats chase around with a tail on it. You put it on the floor, but this one's Bluetooth controlled, and you can control it with your iPhone. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. It's pretty cool. And you drive it around with your iPhone, and so I'll drive that around in the office. And so I'm into gadgets. I'm a podcaster. I build websites. I love technology. I'm a technologist by training. So I love electronics. And one of the things that I've always been interested in are these electronic pedometers like the Fitbit. So, you know, I was talking about the Fitbit to my brother, who's an attorney in Austin, and he told me he was going to go buy one, and then 3 or 4 months later, I finally saw him again, and he had lost 40 pounds. I was like, oh my God, how did you do that? Well, he used the Fitbit to do that. So now, if you put the pieces together, I'm a guy who would like to lose 50 pounds. I have a brother that by now has lost 50 pounds with this thing called the Fitbit, and I have a Fitbit myself, and I'm generally interested in these kinds of electronic gadgets. And so it's obvious for me, what I need is a website about losing weight with a device like the Fitbit. So if I was going to do that, if I was going to have a website like that, here's what I would do. I would think about what I wanted that website to be about, and I would do keyword research and try to determine whether or not there were enough people searching online to justify working on that kind of website. Well, weight loss in general is huge. It's massively competitive, but it's huge. And the reason it's massively competitive, by the way, is that there's a lot of money to be made. Fitbit is huge. There are tons of people online searching for and buying Fitbits. There are lots of ways to be an affiliate for Fitbit through Amazon and other programs like that. So that's monetizing is not a problem. So, you know, I would do that keyword research. And if I did that, which I did, which is something that we'll talk about in future episodes, there are plenty of keywords. There's plenty of traffic. It's a little bit on the competitive side. This is not one of those hidden niches that you go find that nobody else has found that magically, like Corn Sheller, you can suddenly rank number one. But if I built a really strong website, I'm pretty sure that I could rank for long tail keywords in this niche. So what could a website like this be about? Well, it could be about the Fitbit, but that's pretty specific. So what really it's about, I think, is maybe if you take it up a notch, maybe it's about Fitbit and other electronic devices that help you lose weight. Well, that's pretty broad. So what I settled on is, after doing just some thinking and not a lot of heavy research, is a website that's about electronic pedometers. And I'm going to start by focusing on the Fitbit, because that's what's incredibly popular right now. But there are several other devices like this. And I actually expect Apple is going to come out with an Apple Watch and some other things that are going to tie into this industry. There's the Nike Fuel Band. There's lots of stuff like this. So, but right now, I'm thinking Fitbit. But I want the website to be broad enough so that I can expand it to other products, and I can do product reviews. I can answer frequently asked questions. And then here's the other thing. I can blog about my own personal weight loss journey. And that gives me some kind of personal angle on this website that I can, you know, really connect with people like me who need to lose 50 pounds, and they can see my example. I can have before and after pictures of my journey. I can talk about my struggles. I can talk about logging food, which you need to do with the Fitbit, which is kind of a pain. What do you do when you go to a restaurant and you don't know exactly what's in the food? How do you log that? There's lots of search engine traffic over what the calories are for certain items. There's all kinds of opportunity for a website that's about a guy who wants to talk about the latest in electronic pedometer technology, about walking to health, for health, about tracking his own fitness journey, and talking about all of that that's going on with that. That's a lot of potential content. And so that's what I've decided to do for Niche Site Duel 2.0. This is a lot smaller project. I'm talking about a website that, not including whatever personal blogging I end up doing about my own fitness journey, this website has 50 pages, okay? It's product reviews. It's frequently asked questions about the products. It's post-targeting particular keywords. It's a 50-page website. It's not a 5-page niche website like we've talked about in the past, but it's a sort of a 50-page website. So that's what we're going to be doing for Niche Site Duel 2.0, and I've already registered a domain name for that. We're going to talk about that. I've already put up the first piece of content. But what we're going to do is we're going to go back, we're going to look at the keyword research, we're going to use the domain that I've already registered. Well, I'm going to tell you about that in the next couple of episodes. We are going to identify content that we want, and because we're busy people, you and I, we're going to outsource that content, and I'm going to talk to you about how I outsource it. We're going to talk about the places that I use and the job orders that I write up, the exact language that I use to get the best writers. We're going to post that content. I'm going to involve my VA, and we're going to talk about the instructions that I give my VA and what we use for the website and which templates and how we do the graphics and all that sort of stuff. We're going to take your feedback and probably implement some of that feedback on the website as we go, if you have some. And we are going to do all of this over the next couple of months between now and springtime. In the meantime, for my own selfish purposes, I'm going to try and start blogging on this website about getting down to 195 pounds. And that will create content for the website. I'm probably going to do some video blogging as well, so that I can build up a YouTube channel for this website. So there's all kinds of stuff that we can talk about. But again, what I'm trying to do is create a project that's in between the kind of impressive greatness of the Food Trucker website and the ease and not so impressive result of the Corn Sheller website. So this is sort of the in-between thing. And the goal here is to completely reveal to all of you what goes on with this website, and we can see whether or not we can do something amazing, see what it costs, and see whether or not it works, whether or not we're smart enough to do this. For backlinking, we'll use things like Rank Crew and other things that I've been interested in lately, and we'll just see if it works, and we'll be 100% completely transparent about it, and you'll find out that we'll either make something amazing, make something sort of interesting, or make something that fails miserably. That's the way these things always go. It's going to be one of those three things, and we'll work through that all together, and if it goes great, we'll talk about what went great, and if it goes horribly wrong, we'll talk about that too, because, you know, we'll be in full transparency mode as we always are here on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. So that's my plan. We'll start talking about that a little bit each week, or, you know, at least every other week. And next week, what we'll talk about probably is the keyword research that we need to do for that, how we did that, and what I decided about the keyword research, so you can kind of follow along. And then also, in the next episode or two, we'll talk about how I selected the domain name and what things I considered when I was picking that domain name. And the other thing that we'll need to talk about here quickly is the content strategy for the website, because I do not have time to write 20 or 30 pages about the Fitbit. So we're going to have to figure out exactly what to do in order to get some great content on this website to get rolling. So that's what's coming up in the next few weeks. I hope that sounds good to you, and we'll keep you posted on the progress there.
It's time for your late night tech tip. Tech tip. Tools, tips, and tricks for your internet business.
Okay, for the tech tip today, I wanted to revisit a recommendation that I had made in the past of a tool that I was using, and give you an update in light of the new changes with Google Search. And so, you know, previously I've recommended this cool tool called HitTail, HitTail. You can find it at latenightim.com/HitTail. And what HitTail does is it watches the keywords that come into your website. You put a little script in your website, and it keeps track of how people reach your site through search. And then it collects up those keywords and does research on each and every keyword and looks at the pages that you're ranking for those keywords and recommends to you keywords that you should target with your website. It's really cool for generating post ideas. And one of the really neat things about it is that it integrates with Basecamp. And so if it recommends something to you, like, hey, you should write a post on this kind of corn sheller, it will put that directly into Basecamp, and then you can assign that task to your VA directly or however you manage that kind of work in your workflow. So with all the changes in Google, that data is starting to go away. A big chunk of that data is starting to go away. And so what I've seen is that the number of recommendations that I'm getting from Hittail are starting to go down. And actually, my use of Hittail has been a little bit less than what I anticipated. So I actually went over to my account to downgrade it from the level that I was at to the next lower level to save a few dollars every month. I didn't cancel it, but I downgraded it. And when you downgrade it, and when you change the level of your account, you have an opportunity to contact support. And so I did that, and I asked them about this Google thing, and I asked them what they were doing. And I wanted to kind of understand if they felt like there was going to be a workaround for this and try to understand whether or not their service was going to go away completely. And I got a three-stage answer that didn't totally satisfy me, but I wanted to share it with you here since I had previously recommended the tool and wanted to make sure that you were up to date on this. The first thing is that the first thing they wanted to point out was with changes to the Google Keyword Planner tool and the fact that there was less and less keyword information available, they make the point in their reply to me that each keyword that they do find for you and provide is even more valuable than it used to be because these things are getting so hard to find. I'm not sure I understand that logic there. I mean, the issue that I have is that they're just not, they don't have a lot of good data to work with, and is the tool still going to be valuable? For me, that doesn't really answer my question. The second point they make is they're still seeing keywords from between 10 and 50% of the total keyword traffic, depending on the niche, which is not great, but it's a lot better than zero. I totally agree with that. And the question is, will Google ever cut off 100% of the keyword data? Now, I have a feeling that Google actually will do that. But their point is well taken. Right now, there's still enough signal coming through from Google that the service is still valuable. I agree with that. That's why I kept it. And then he makes the point that they don't charge for keywords. In your keyword quota, they analyze a certain number of keywords every month. And in your keyword quota, they don't charge you for anything that comes through as not provided. I didn't actually know that. So that was good information. And that's really good of them to do that way. So you're only getting charged for the keywords that actually do come through. So I still recommend this service. It's not quite as magical as it used to be, and we need to keep an eye on it in the future, but it's really inexpensive at the lowest level. So I think it's worth playing around with if you've got a niche website and you're looking to figure out what your next content should be about. Hittail is still something that I like to play with, and I'm still using that myself. And you can find that at latenightim.com/Hittail. Okay, that wraps it up for today. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you're excited about my Niche Site Duel 2.0 plans. We're going to talk about this. Understand that we don't know what will happen. I mean, a lot of people who talk about building websites and all the money you can make on the internet, they talk about their successes. They don't talk about their failures. I will tell you, I've built a lot of websites that for one reason or another went absolutely nowhere. A lot of times it's because I lost interest in them, but sometimes it was because even though I tried as hard as I could, I wasn't able to find a way to make them profitable. every niche marketer that I know has this experience. So if you're running into gurus that are telling you that everything always works out great and it's easy to make money on the internet every time and there's never a failure, they're just lying to you. So watch out for that. So we're gonna talk about this thing as it happens, and we'll tell the truth about it and so forth and reveal the statistics and all that. It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll hopefully all learn a lot from that project. So until next week, we'll talk to you soon.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so I have to tell you guys about my son, Zach. So I'm so excited. So, you know, I came to Houston on Saturday after his baseball game, and so I missed his soccer game at 3:30. I'm the assistant coach of both the baseball team and the soccer team, but I needed to get on the road to Houston so I could come see my parents. So I missed the soccer game. I get this phone call from my six-year-old about the goal that he scored, and he was so excited. I cannot believe I missed it. Normally, he plays defense on his soccer team, so he doesn't score goals. In fact, he hasn't scored a goal this season. And his sport, at least at the ripe old age of six right now, is baseball. He's not the best soccer player, although he's getting really good, but he's not the best soccer player on the team. We have some really amazing kids on the team. He's good, but there are other kids are doing most of the scoring. Anyway, somehow he got loose with the ball, and he knocked a shot, apparently he described it to me, over the goalie's head, into the back of the net, and scored a goal. And apparently, my wife said, after that, he was just a machine on the field, just, you know, doing everything that he could to get the ball and just playing really aggressively, and it really fired him up. There is no better thing as a parent than seeing your child be successful. I wasn't even there, and I was just so excited for him and pumped up and excited for the team. They won the game and, you know, are almost undefeated this season. I don't think we've lost, or maybe we lost one game. So it's just, man, seeing your kids be successful and flourish is just, that is the greatest reward as a parent. And I'm really excited for Zachary. And at the same time, have beautiful daughters all dressed up and going to homecoming this weekend. So, I mean, it's just great to be a parent. Parenting is probably the greatest blessing that I can possibly imagine. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in More than a decade ago in 2007, in some ways it seems like yesterday, and in some ways it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.